Romans 13 verse 8. Everybody turn your Bible to Romans. We have declared that the month of April and beyond, we're going to be examining a very core aspect of the kingdom life. Not one of the aspects of the kingdom life. Not another aspect of the kingdom life. We're going to be looking at the very core. Look at your neighbor, say the very core. Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. Everybody, let's read it again. Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. It's both a debt and an obligation. So meaning that it's a debt you must pay. NIV. Let no debt remain outstanding. That is, you can pay every other debt. Pay it. He said, except the continuing debt to love one another. Now, if it's a continuing debt, it also means that you continuously build more capacity to what? To keep paying it. And the good news is you will not stop paying it. Amen. I like that. The good news is that you will not what? So, but meaning if it's a debt, you must pay. You must keep reimbursing yourself so that you can pay it. Am I correct? Now, if I have a debt of maybe, how many of you have heard of servicing debts before? Look at your neighbor, say loving others is debt servicing, according to the Bible. Do we have banking and finance and accounting people here? So you know what it means to service debt. Presently, Nigeria has been servicing some debts for years. Because those kind of debts, is you can't pay it. You will close that the whole country, you will still not be able to pay. So the best thing you can do is to be what? Is to be servicing it. That open that one day, just one day. Just one day. So look at your neighbor. Say neighbor. I'm not saying it well. Say neighbor. Say no, you are owing me. Look at your neighbor. Say neighbor. You are owing me, gidigon. Look at your neighbor. Say neighbor. Pastor, you don't have any neighbor. Neighbor, you are owing me, gidigon. Glory to God. Look at your neighbor. Say, you are owing me. One of our, you finish now, two. Look at your neighbor. Say, you are owing me. It's an outstanding. Okay, look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I'm also owing you. Amplify. Wait, stay here. I like this part. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. Amplified. Now, keep out of debt and owe no man anything except to love one another, for his neighbor who practices loving others. I like that word, practices. So it's a practice. Hello? It's a practice. You know what practice is? Something you keep doing and learning, doing and learning, doing and learning. Praise God. So look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, the debt you are owing me, you have to practice paying it. Meaning, you have to engage in a practical sequence that makes the debt servicing effective. Can I say that again? It means that you are what? You are going to engage in a what? In a debt services sequence. You keep practicing it. You keep being trained. You keep exercising your guts in the direction of servicing that debt. Hallelujah. Message. The Message Bible. Don't run up debts except for the huge depths of love you owe each other. Now, when you love others, you complete what the law has been after all along. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, the goal of the law is that you is for you to keep servicing your love debts. Now look up. It means that the reason God gave them the law in the Old Testament was to bring them to a place where they are constantly paying their neighbors their love debt. Are you getting what I'm saying? So love is a debt you must pay. Look at your neighbor, say, love is a debt you must pay. So, Saints of God, Kingdom Citizens of Kingdom Diplomat Center, please allow me to announce to you that for the next month and beyond, we're going to be looking at the contest, the concept, and the caption called But to Love One Another. Preach to your neighbor. Say, but to love one another. Say it like you mean it. Say, but to love one another. Say it again. Say, but to love one another. Lift up your right hand and say, Lord, we receive this instruction. We receive all the understanding that will come with it. We learn all the skills that will come with it. And we'll practice all the practices that will be required. Our love work is enhanced in the name of Jesus. Glory to your name. Our love work is enhanced. We are more like you in every aspect of our life. We receive understanding of this concept, O God. We receive understanding of this concept, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Look at your neighbor once again. Say, welcome to the month of April. So on this train, today I'm going to be starting a series titled Learning to Walk in Love. Part 1. Learning to walk in love. Learning to walk in love. Learning to walk. To walk in love. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to be reading from verse 1 to verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2. The Bible says, once you were dead, doomed forever because of your many sins, you used to live just like the rest of the world, full of sin, obeying Satan, the mighty prince of the power of the air. He is the spirit at work in the heart of those who refuse to obey God. He is the spirit at work in the heart of those who refuse to obey God. Now, what is he saying there? He said, he is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to walk in love. Because we have already seen that obeying God is fulfilling the commandment of love, isn't it? So if they are disobeying God, they are disobeying God means that they are not walking in love. So let's take that part again. He is the Spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse. That is, those who refuse to walk in love. Verse 3. All of us used to live that way, following the passions and desires of our evil nature. We were born with an evil nature, and we were under God's anger, just like everyone else. Verse 4. Everybody, let's read. But God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so very much, that even while we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's favor that you have been saved. Verse 6. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ, and we are seated with Him in the heavenly realms, all because we are one with Christ. I want us to repeat that part. All because we are united with Christ. Verse 7. And so, God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness towards us. So, God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all He has done for us who are united with Christ. Verse 8. The Bible now went on to say, God saved us by His grace. When God saved you by His grace, when you believe, He said, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Verse 9. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. Verse 10. Everybody, let's read. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ, so that we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. Father, we receive the ministry of Your word. In the name that is above every other name, in the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God, I ask that the entrance of Your word will bring understanding to the hearts of Your people. I'm asking that You will cause Your word to come with such precision, clarity and dexterity of thought, enablement of spirit and quickening of mind, so that it will be able to accomplish the aim for which it is sent. We give You glory in advance, because by the end of this meeting, Your people will be translocated, Your people will be transformed, and Your people will be quickened. Thank You, Father, in advance, because Your word is true. For in Jesus' name we pray. Now let me begin by saying, understanding the reason God creates man, understanding the reason God created man, is the basis for any effective relationship with God. I'll say it again. The only time your relationship with God can be solid is when you have received a revelation knowledge of the intent of God. Look at your neighbor, say, the intent of God. So let me ask a question. Why did God create man? Hello? Why did God the all-knowing God, the immortal God, the invisible God. I'm talking about the sovereign creator of the universe. Why did he step out of where he is to create man? Hello? Why? Listen, everybody. God is the most intentional deity that ever exists. I keep saying it to Ross in Cadiz. What did I just say? God is the what? The most. So meaning that before God takes a step, he must have already concluded on the reason why he's taking that step. So, one of the easiest way and progressive ways of having good relationship with God is to dwell at the realm of God's why. Look at your neighbor, dwelling at the realm of God's why. So why did God create man? Hello? I need answers. Now, how many of you know that you were created by God? Raise your hand. You were created by God. So why did God create you?
Sir?
You were created by God. So why did God create you?
Because he loved me.
Say it now. Are you, don't be. Say it.
Because he loved me.
They are not. They didn't hear you. Say it with confidence. Are you sure of it? You are sure. Yeah, say it.
Because he loved me.
Because he loves me. As simple as that answer. That is the answer. The reason God created man was because he wanted a people he will lavish his love on. Do we get that? Hello? It's difficult for religion to accept it as the reason why God created us. Because, no, let's be realistic. Let's be practical. What other reason would have made God, who had companies of innumerable companies of angels with him at his beck and call, at his disposal, why would God have decided to step out of his eternity into time to create a mortal being like me? Why? Some people believe that the reason God created man was that man would worship him. Now, true, man, God created man to worship him. They're now going to ask another question. What is worship? Because for me, worship is simply an expression of love from the lovee to the lover. Hello? Did you hear what I just said? Many of you think that worshiping God is praying and fasting. Religion has done so much damage to God's original intent. That's the reason why you can have people that can fast and pray for 40 days but still find it difficult to forgive their neighbors. Because to them, God derives more pleasure in their what? In their fasting and what? And prayers. Is fasting and praying bad? No. Look at your neighbor and say, God created me so that I will be the attention of his love. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. NLT. What did the Bible say there? Even before he made the world, God loved us and shows us to be in Christ. Before the foundation of the world, before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Hello? So what is God's why? God's why is to lavish love. Look at your neighbor, to lavish love. Why did God create man? Simple. Man was created so that man will be the what? Will be the attention of God's love. To be loved by God is the reason why I loved you. Why I created you, sorry. That is the reason why that's the only motive that keep making him chasing after you. During the worship, he was singing a line. Said, there is no valley too high that his love cannot cross. I mean, it's overwhelming, restless love. It can chase you down to the grave. Hello? Now, why will his love chase you down to the grave? Now, the reason why it creates you be that. Hello? Why is a principal or a teacher bent on making sure you read as a student? That's the reason he was employed to your life. Am I correct? He said, this uncle in my school, his own is even too much. He must always make sure we read. Which other sure must he make before? Not until you know the purpose of a thing, you are liable to abuse it. Look at your neighbor, say, God is a lover. You didn't say it the way I want. Tell your neighbor, God is a lover. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. What did the Bible say there? He said, their faithful love. Hello? Of the Lord never ends. His mercy never comes to an end. Can I tell you this, church? The day love stops existing in God's realm, that day God stops existing. That's the reason why it can never change. Because that's who he was. He is. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. The Bible says, but anyone who does not love does not know God. Why? For God is love. See, church, it becomes very, very easy for you to love one another, if you can settle it in your mind very, very early in your Christian walk, that the goal of spirituality is to be as God. Is to be as what? Look at your neighbor, say, to be as God. That's the goal. The Bible says, but anyone who does not love does not know God. Why? For God dwells at the realm of love. So if you are pointing God, say, that's God. What are we pointing at? We are pointing at the shades of love. What's the next verse? Verse 9. Read on. He said, God showed how much he loved us. By what? By sending his one. See, listen to me, everybody. Raise your head. If there is a love somewhere, there must be a show of the love. Hello? Love is not a passive entity. Love is not an invisible force. Love is a tangible reality. Can I say that again? Love is a what? It's a tangible reality. It's a tangible reality. So meaning, because God is love, he stepped out of his loveliness and decided to create love beings. Look at your neighbor, say, we humans are love beings. Is that one established? So the reason why God created you was so that you will be the attention of his love. So that you will be the type of his love. So that you will be the evidence of his love. So that you will be the symbol. Everybody say the symbol of his love. 2 Peter. Chapter 1, verse 4. See, I want us to read. Now, and because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. Now, these are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desire. I'm going to explain something here. Please, everybody, raise your head and look at me. I want to show you something here. I know you've been reading this verse of the Bible, but I want you to understand what this Bible is saying. What Peter is telling you here, he's trying to tell you that the reason God is giving you exceeding great precious promises is so that those promises will mix in you and cause a transformation. Somebody say transformation. Now, what is that transformation? It's taking you from the world's corruption. Now the question is, what is the world's corruption? He said, to enable you to share his divine nature. Now, to share his divine nature. So number one, what is his what? Divine nature. Number two, what is the world's corruption? So number one, what is his divine nature? What is his divine nature? Love is his divine nature. So what is the world's corruption? Genesis chapter 6. First. Genesis chapter 6. Verse 5. Now, the Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally what? Evil. Now verse 6. So the Lord was sorry he had ever made them and put them out on the earth. It broke his heart. Verse 7. And the Lord said, I will wipe this human race I have created from the face of the earth. Yes, I will destroy every living thing. All the people, the large animals, the small animals, that scurry along the ground, and even the birds of the sky. I am sorry I ever made them. Now verse 8. But Noah found favor with the Lord. Continue verse 9. Okay. Wait. What had happened between let us make man in our own image and God now being sorry that he has made man? What has happened? Go back. Genesis chapter 3. Everybody say a foreign nature. Everybody say foreign. So what is the corruption of the world? What is the corruption of the world? The corruption of the world is the inability of man's heart to love. So the opposite of love is what? Corruption. So what is the corruption of the world? Hatred. Everybody say hatred. Hatred. Man was not created to be hateful. The reason God created man was that man will be the what? The attention of his love. And every part of man was designed by God on a two-plane, two-dimension. Number one, man was going to be receiving love directly from God. And then number two, man was going to be what? Reflecting love directly from himself. That was what God, how God created man. Everybody say man in two dimensions. Do we get that now? So the reason God created man was what? For man to be the what? The attention of his love. And by that, man will now be the what? The extension of God's love. Hello? Man was going to be the attention, the focus of God's love. And look up, look up. I want you to understand this. As God was going to be pouring his love on man, the way the world will see God will be the love of God, man, love of God that man brings out. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Hello? So, the day God concluded that he was going to create man and put him on the earth, that day, God stopped living on the earth. Can I say that again? The day God finished creating man and placed man on the earth, earth no longer became his what? His dwelling place. Man became God on the earth. Who is God? God is love. You get that? So now, stand up, sir. God had finished with man and went his own way to go and rest. Now, if you now look for God, how would you, where will you find God? Where will you find God? In heaven. Is that true? Respond. If you are looking for God now, where will you find God? You'll be looking for God here. Are you not seeing it? So meaning that the moment God finished creating Adam, the attention of godliness was no longer heaven. The attention of godliness was who? Was Adam. So if you want to see God, who do you look at? Adam. If you want to see love, who do you look at? Who do you look at? Adam. Look at your neighbor, say, the day God finished creating man, he stepped out from the invisible to the visible. He didn't say it. Sir, the day God finished creating man, when you are looking for God, you don't go to heaven. When you are looking for God, you look for the man that God is staying inside. And the evidence that this man is connected to God is what? Love. Everybody say love. The spirit, no, most of you say God is spirit, man is spirit. Who is the spirit? What is the spirit itself? Can we talk, church? Have you sat down and this spirit, we are always talking about spirit. Do you know what spirit is? Spirit and love is the relationship between wire and current. Can I talk? Do you know the relationship between wire and current? You can't separate the two. Hello? If there is a current, if you want current to flow, you must connect wire. But the real current is not the wire. The real current is a field around the what? The wire. Have you heard of electric field before? I want to show you something. If you understand it, you will understand why the Bible always refers to love as spirit. Now, the wire is surrounded by the current. The field. So the moment you put it, boom. Now what transmits the current is in the wire, but the field around the wire. So the same way, when you are talking about Spirit of God, you are talking about the love of God finding a conduit to come into man's life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Just the same way when you say wire, the next thing that comes to your mind is what? Current. The same way when you say Spirit of God, the next thing that should come to your mind is what? Is love. What the Spirit of God conveys is His love. So that's the reason why the moment the Spirit of God is out of a place, the love of God naturally what? Go and sit down. So, you now see why He was angry with man. Why was He angry with man? The capacity to love was no what? Was no longer there. Is that okay? And when God saw that man was no longer going to love, He got angry because man was no longer what? Useful. Look at your neighbor. Say, outside loving others, you are useless before God. It's heavy, sir. It's heavy. That's why I said it slowly. Hello? It's heavy. Church, look up. The deep things of God are not plenos, prutschla, lacus, clem, lenosa. All the deep things of God. The deep things of God are not the eloquence of your speech. Hello? Thank God for good worship atmosphere that makes you to sob and cry. But that's not the deep things of God. If you want to find God in any depth, the depth where God is found is love. So, the moment the conduit, that is the electric force through which love could be dispensed by man had left, what was left? Everybody say corruption. The heart of man became corrupt. The heart of man became corrupt. Romans chapter 3. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. Is it verse 19 now? Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 verse 10. Romans 3 verse 10. He said, no one is good, not even one. No one has real understanding. No one is seeking God. All have turned away from God and gone their own way. No one does good, not even one. Why was David making that statement? Hello? Why was David making that statement? I need a good student that understands the answer. Why was David making that statement? Why was David making that statement? Why was there no one that was good? No, why was there no one that was good? That good there, who is that good? That good there is the Spirit of God. So what David was saying, no one is good. It's not because they were not acting good. It was not because they were not kind to their neighbors. Are you listening to me? The good there was a byproduct of the Spirit of God in their life. So when David was saying there was no good, it means everybody had been separated from the life of God. So look at your neighbor. Say hate. debt is separation from God's life. Corruption is separation from God's life. So two things I've been able to establish. Number one, the reason God created man was for man to be the attention of his love and be the extension of his love. Two, the moment man lost connection with the Spirit of God that was supposed to be the conduit for the love of God, man became corrupt by default. Everybody said corruption was a default setting. Do we understand that? So what happened on the Garden of Eden was what brought hatred to mankind. So what you call the Adamic nature was a nature that was severed from the Spirit of God. So now, brings me to the crux of this discussion. What is love? What is love? When you're going to define what is love, please be careful so that you don't define it from the soul. What is love? The dictionary, sir, is misleading. The dictionary says love is an emotional feeling that moves from one person to the other. Everybody say wrong. Wrong. Yes, sir. Listen. You want me to define love? Love is the life of God finding expression. Simple. Love is God's life finding expression. That's all. Love, sir, love is God's life finding expression. Anything that flows out of life of God is what? It's love. So that was why the moment what God told Adam in Eden was that the day you eat the fruit, you will cease to exist by my life and you will not cease to exist by your life. And you know the difference between the Adamic life and the God life. So the God life was characterized by all the shades of what? Of love. Everybody say love. So if the God life is a spiritual life, what does it imply? Love is a what? Love is a spirit. So, what Ephesians was now trying to tell us was that the moment man fell, the moment man fell, the first thing that happened was that we became ostracized. We became separated from the capacity to love others. So look at your neighbor, say loving others is only possible by redemption. That brings me to the next thing. Being able to establish that the purpose of God for creating man is that we give love out and then we receive his love first and we give our love. Established? Is that clear? Number two, I've been able to establish that the fall of man made it practically what? Impossible for man to exhibit the God kind of what? Of love. Because there are certain traits or certain characters of the God kind of love. Basically one, actually. The God kind of love is spiritual. It originates from the Spirit of God himself. Praise God. So the only person that can give her the God kind of love is God himself. So separation from God is separation from the God life. Am I correct? So meaning separation from the God life is separation from the agape kind of love. Correct. Now meaning that every other thing man will exhibit is what? Hatred. Everybody say hatred. How many of you know that the only pure love that exists, both in the seen and the unseen realm, is the love that is of God? It does not attach anything to it. It's unconditional. But if you see a girl loving a guy, hello, investigate very well. There is something that ties two of them to that love affair. Either they are tied because of sex, they are tied because of money. They are tied because of, I just need someone to always talk to. Praise God. I know when you are in a relationship with a girl that got into the relationship with you because she's always looking for somebody to talk to. The day you did not talk to her, realm where true love dwells is the God realm. And let me tell you the definition of true love. The definition of true love is what the Bible calls truth. Look at your neighbor, say truth. Truth. The definition of true love is what the Bible calls what? Truth. Everybody say truth. Now, Jesus told Pilate, he said, for this reason was I born. Because Pilate asked him, are you the king of the Jews? He did not answer. After a while, he answered. He said, yes. He said, are you a king? He said, yes. He now looked at Pilate, and this was what he said. John 18, verse 37. Look at what he said. He said, for this reason was I born. For this cause came I to the world to bear witness to the truth. And then Pilate asked Jesus the question, 37. And Pilate asked Jesus a question. What was the question? He said, what is what? Truth. John 18:37. Are you a king? Jesus responded, yes, you say I am a king. Actually, he said, I was born and came into the world to testify to the truth. All who love the truth recognize what I say is what? Is true. What is truth? Now the question is, what is truth? Truth is the unconditional love of God talked about. Because John 3 verse 16, the Bible says, for God so what? Loved the world that he what? That he gave his only son. Now, if God gave Jesus, and Jesus said, I came to bear witness to the truth. The witness that Jesus came to bear, if you want to answer what that witness is, why did Jesus come? Hello? So Jesus came as an evidence that God is what? Love. So what is the truth? The truth is the unconditional love of God. So please, church, anytime you are reading your Bible and you see truth there, the truth is the love of God. The gospel is the truth. Am I correct? The gospel is the truth. Am I correct? What is the gospel? The gospel is the explanation or the talking about of the love of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Who is Jesus? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So that was why Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6. What did the Bible say there? When he raised us up, where did he join us to? He now joined us to who? To Christ. Why did he join us to Christ? Look up. Christ was the only man that displayed unconditional love on it. So meaning, the goal of the believer is to live as who? As Christ. Why as Christ? Because Christ was the only mortal that displayed true love. Are you following me? Hello? Adam did not display true love. John the Baptist did not display true love. Are you following me? Why was it that Christ was the only person that displayed true love? Why? It was the foretaste of what the Spirit of God can do in an Adamic man. The body that Jesus used while he was on earth was from the earth. Am I correct? But the spirit that he used, it was from where? It was from who? So which spirit do you have now? So what does the Bible call us? The Bible calls us the first fruit. Everybody say the first fruit. Christ is the first fruit, sorry. We are the joint heirs with Christ. Look at your neighbor, say, love is a spirit. That's all I've come to establish this morning. Before we begin to talk about love your brothers, love your neighbors, don't tell lies to one another. Hello? The starting point is for you to establish that love is a what? Is a spirit. And the Bible now told us in Ephesians 2 verse 6, that when he raised Jesus from the dead, it was not only Jesus he raised. He also raised you among. And the moment he raised you, where he kept you in the what? In the heavenly realm. Now what happens in the heavenly realm? It's in the heavenly realm that agape flows out from, because that's where God dwells. So, the realm of love is the realm where God dwells. So the reason why you are born again was because the Spirit of God was lost in Eden. But in Christ, that Spirit has been what? Has been restored. The first thing that happened to Jesus after his baptism was that the Spirit of God descended upon him. And what did the Bible say about Jesus? Acts 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost, who went about. But Romans says there was none good. Hello? What has changed? The Spirit has changed. Romans said there was none good. But how come Jesus went about what? Doing good. The good doing capacity was the Spirit of God that came on Jesus. Look at your neighbor. The good doing capacity. So the starting point of loving others, therefore, is what? Receiving the Spirit of God. Receiving the Spirit of God. The last verse we're going to read before we pray. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Oh, Jesus. Glory to God. Verse 14. Everybody, oh yeah, look up. He said, 14. He said, either way, Christ's love controls us. What does the control? The love of Christ. What is the next thing? He said, since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. You know what the Bible is trying to tell you here? Two lives cannot exist at the same body and function side by side. For Adam, the day he took self-life, spirit life what? Died. But in Christ, the process has been what? Has been reversed. So the day we took up Christ's life, what happened to self-life? Self-life what? Died. That's what he's trying to tell you here. Being born again is a life reversal sequence. We're looking at it last Sunday. I'm telling you that the moment you get born again, you are not expected to become holy. Good conduct. Good conduct is not supposed to come out almost immediately. Am I correct? There's a continuous working of the Spirit, isn't it? Hello? If you don't understand those things, you will be working in your mind and you think you are loving people. Most of what most Christians call loving others, listen to me. This thing is heavy in my heart. I will keep praying from now till the end of this month and next month for God to give me utterance to communicate it. Because what most of us call loving others is not loving others. Because how can you love someone? You say you love the person, and then the person hurts you and you are angry. Hello? Hello? And by virtue of that anger, the next thing you are thinking is how you will hurt the person back. And then you call that one love? Hello? If every time, no, God say he loves us. Every time that God tells you he loves you and then you do what makes him angry and he kills you, You now say love, Sabi. It's not consistent with the nature of God. Let me tell you this, everybody. All through in the Old Testament, many of us want to ask questions there. Most of those people that were being killed in the Old Testament, and then what was it? Or was it God that was killing them? I've had so many people argue that if truly God is love, why was he killing people? Then you judge for yourself. There is a tribe that carries the capacity to love all men. And wicked people wants to kill that tribe that carries the capacity to love people. What would God do? Hello? So he allowed the wicked to perish so that the righteous one can what? Can come out. So that's the reason why the day Jesus was born, God stopped killing people. Hello? If anybody asks you, why was God killing people in the Old Testament? Tell the person he was doing it to preserve the tribe through which Jesus was going to come out from. Or you didn't know that was God, why God was doing that? Go and read your Bible. God did not just kill anybody because he just feel like showing his anger. No. Paul was even telling us that even before they came to the mountain, nobody died. But the moment they got the law, in the Bible, Old Testament, people died for two reasons. Number one, they died for breaking the law and they brought it on themselves. Hello? They were the one that told God, anything you tell us to do, what? We will do. So God told them, if you don't keep my law, you will what? You will die. Was it God that killed them? Hello, you don't want to answer. Eh? Dummy. You don't understand, Abby? Be careful the things you tell God. That's the reason why love is not the flesh. Say, I will follow you for the rest of life. I will die with you. Have you not heard a wife telling the husband that one? For better, for worse. For good and bad. And then you caught him in adultery. You want to use knife and shook him. Yeah. So that you will know that agape love is not in the realm of your five senses. Because the natural response of my wife, if he catches me, that he wants to stab me. The natural response of my, if I catch, for instance, my wife, my stab, you will die today. Now, it's normal. Because the five senses dwells at the realm of the world. Everybody say of the world. There is a way things are processed in that world, in that realm. But the agape we are telling you to walk in does not dwell in the realm of the world. Of the world. What realm does it dwell? It dwells in the realm of the spirit. Everybody say the spirit. So now what it's on to say in verse 15. I like what he said here. He said, we no longer evaluate people by the flesh. Are you seeing that? Verse 15. He said, he died for everyone so that those who receive his new life, okay, new life. Those who receive his new life will no longer live for the what? For themselves. We no longer live for themselves. Do you know what is happening here? Paul is trying to tell you now that agape is now the control center of your life. When things happen, you don't respond to them by you. You ask, how would the Spirit of God what? Respond. So love is not a flesh thing. Love is not a soul thing. Any love that is at the realm of the soul is going to be influenced by soulish things. Praise God. But the real kind of love, the love that Paul was telling us to have for one another, it is not having its root in our what? In our flesh. It doesn't have its root in our soul. Question, where does it have its root? Look at your neighbor, our new life in Christ. So if I was going to call this series another topic, I would call it our new life in what? In Christ. So learning to walk in love. Number one is to learn to live in the reality of why God created you. Sorry, random. Learning to love in walk in love. Number two is learning to live in the consciousness that love is a what? Is a spirit. Number three, learning to walk in love is learning to live in the reality that the new life you have received in Christ is the motivation for your love walk. The first one, learning to walk in love, is learning to live in the reality that what? You were created for that reason. The reason, that's the first way. Learning to walk in love is living in the reality that you were created to be a love being. That's where it all starts from. Think about it, process it, internalize it. Number two, learning to love, walk in love, is to learn to live in the consciousness that love is what? Is a spiritual nature. Peter calls it divine nature. No wonder there is a saying we used to hear in those days. He said, to err is human, but to forgive is divine. Everything that has to do with love is divine. Amadioha cannot love. Number three, learning to walk in love is to learn to live in the consciousness that your new life makes loving others possible. Your new life. Reckon yourself what? Dead to trespasses. And whenever the Bible talks about trespasses, it's talking about those things that negate a love life. Do we get that? So, during the course of this series, I'm going to be showing you the various shades of love. The new life we have received in Christ is the life that makes it possible for us to love others. Verse 16. Now, verse 16. So, as a result of those three things we read, I'll say something. And then that's where I'm going to be building up for the rest of the month. I want to look at this. Apostle Paul says something here. He said, now, we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. I used to think that the starting point of loving others is to accept people the way they are. Hello? I used to say it. I still taught it last week. That if you want to walk in love, accept people the way they are. I was still sharing it on Monday in a program. I said, if you want to love people, if you don't want to have problem loving people, accept them the way they want. They are. Don't try to want to change them and all those things. Just accept them the way they are. Because when you accept them the way they are, their lifestyle will no longer be what? Be paining you. So you no longer be hating them. Hello? Hello? But some days ago, while I was meditating on this verse of scriptures, it kept coming. I then picked my Bible. This was what the Holy Spirit told me. He said, the starting point of the church, of believers, to love others, is not to accept people the way they are. It's to accept people the way we are in Christ. Hello? Can I say that again? If you really want to walk in love towards people, you don't start from accepting them the way they are. Because if you accept them the way they are, you will begin to relate with them because... So if I accept you that your own problem is that you lie a lot, now I will adjust to your lying. But for me, all I will see you as is a what? Is a liar. So even when you are telling me the truth, because I have accepted you the way you are, I'm not taking it out. That's where presumptuousness comes from. How many of you have heard of being presumptuous? What happened to this thing? How many of us have heard of being presumptuous? Means you conclude. Even before the person gives you reason why it is, say, Shebina, we know say you always want. I'm sorry, I'll be coming later. You don't need to. You always come late before now. So, You have accepted him the way he is. But no. He said the starting point of all of those four things I said earlier, they are knowledge you need to have. But in activating the effect of all those knowledge that you were created to love others, you were created to walk in love, you have a new life, the Holy Spirit is there to help you to love. For you to now begin to administrate love for your neighbors, love for people around you, the first reality you need to break into is to accept people not as they are. You don't evaluate people as they are. But how do you evaluate people? You evaluate people as I am in Christ. The book of Titus made a very profound statement. He said, to him that is evil, all things are what? Are evil. But to him that is good, all things are good. Hear this, church. When you start viewing people in the reality of who you are in Christ, do you know what you are doing to them? You are giving them permission to experience agape love. Because now you are not going to be dealing with them because they are stiff. Wait, church. Can I tell you the reason why God is not looking at us? Because we are liars and sinners and thieves. It's because he is love. So he's seeing you from the light of who he is. That's why he's not giving up on you. Hello? Oh, that we can understand this. The reason why God, we were praying and then it touched my heart. How come God doesn't really give up on us? The reason why God doesn't give up on us, because he sees us from the lens of himself. Our shadows. He sees us from the lens of who he is. The Bible says in the book of Timothy that even when we are unfaithful, God cannot deny himself. Do you think about that? Meaning, your unfaithfulness does not bring out God's unfaithfulness. The moment you stop being kind in God's eyes, God will not say, because he's wicked. You have started dealing with everybody wickedly. Okay, me, I will deal with you wickedly. No wonder the Bible now says, in Matthew 5, let's stand up on our feet as we read Matthew 5, verse 44. Verse 46, sorry. Let's be on our feet. Matthew 5. How come? He said, look up. He said, if you love only those who love you. You know what that statement means? It means that if you relate with people as they are to you. Are you seeing it? We need to stop relating with people as they are to us. This one, I know this one is a big lie. So I'm not even expecting too much from him. So, hello? But you know, when you stay in that realm, one day, everybody say one day, is lie we get at you. No, I used to think so. Just accept them for who they are. Just let them just be for who they are. Let them. I know it's not, sir. No problem. But everybody say one day. He's nagging with what? Get at you. And that's the point. They will not say, hey, but I don't know Pastor K to be this. Hello? Something happened. A button was what? It's touched. But see, Paul is not telling you. The only way to stay buttonless is to no longer view people the way they have. View them in the light of who you are in Christ. So if they are provoking me to get angry, I will ask myself, when they provoke Christ on the day on on the cross, when he was walking towards the cross, the Bible says he could not open his mouth. Hello? The Bible says he was led like a sheep to be slaughtered. The guy looked like a zombie. Listen to me, with all sincerity and humility, not until we as believers begin to live in the realm of foolishness before people, we've not started loving others. They will look at you and say, which guy loved me? This one, are you a fool? But listen to me, do you know what I tell them? I say when Jesus was walking from that Cyrene and with that Simon of Cyrene and all those people carrying that wicked, dirty, stinking cross. And let me tell you the truth. When Jesus was crucified, the Bible says he was naked. In the film, they cannot show nakedness in film. Hello? That's why they are using those things to come. If the thieves were put on the cross naked, and he did that for you. And after he has finished doing it, the only statement he could make, Father, forgive them for they know what they. And you are telling me that person is walking in his senses. You are telling me that kind of person is walking in his soul. Something has died on the day of in the Garden of Gethsemane. Love is a spirit. And for you to begin to walk in love, only one prayer you need to start praying from today. Lord, give me the courage to stop seeing people as they are. Let me start seeing them as I am in you. Now, this was not happening. It means that the more I am beholding Christ, the more I will be loving people freely. He said, for we all will unveil faces. We behold, and it's in a glass. Now, we are not looking at people. See, lie to me, beat me, steal from me, do everything. I'm not going to react. If I'm reacting, it's because I've not seen a part of Christ that will seize me from reacting. That's the reason why, listen to me, most of you think to walk in love means God will bring nice people your way. No. If God wants to really bring love out of you, he will bring some dirty kind of people your way. I mean, people that will be stealing your money and they will be praying for you. Who took my money? Anybody that steal my mommy's money, my auntie's money, ha! Has that kind of person stayed with you before? Anybody that steal my money will not be better. She will even join you. Mommy, anybody that steal that your money. Some people are heartlessly unlovable. But you know what? Their heart state is not our problem. My heart state is my problem. The more I see Jesus, the more I can look at them and say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Place your two hands on your head. This is the starting point of loving others. Lord, cause me by your spirit to no longer see people as they are. Let's begin to pray. But to see people in the light of who I am in Christ. So meaning your responsibility in loving others is to know who you are in Christ. Aya. Shadadadaya. Mashalabalabalaya. Let's go ahead. Let's begin to pray. Bradada shada bradadadadadadaya. I know of people that no matter how much you apologize to them, their anger can never be pacified. Their anger is so thick that it brings rage. You must understand that their problem is not that they are not born again. But the problem is that they've not yet seen. They've not yet seen who they are in Christ. That's why the Bible now went on to say in the next verse, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. Now, what's this new creature all about? It is the new nature of love. Church, this is where love starts. Forget about what people have done to you. Forget about how many people don't talk good about you. Forget about how many people are lying against you. That's not the point. The point is, who are you seeing yourself to be? Who am I seeing myself to be? So there is only one prayer we pray. Lord, let the veil of who you are, let it cloud me. Let it surround me. Like unveiled faces, cause me to behold as in a glass. In Jesus' name we pray. Look up. The reason why. Hello. The reason why it appears that even after we have become born again, God seems to overlook our sins. How many of you know God overlooks our sins? Hello. How many of you know when you get born again, there are some things you were doing before you got born again. Now that you are born again, you still do them and God forgives you. That's what I mean by overlook. How many of you know? Now, do you know why? He's not looking at you as you are. He's looking at you as he is. Now, he's not going to do a work in your life by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not keep bringing you to see him as he is. Now, when you start seeing him as he is, you will not start living as he is. So the reason why he's bypassing those your sins now is tolerating it because you are still at a level of your walk with him. Are you understanding it? So because he knows, listen, church, there's something I want to say. It is not your soul that stops you from sinning. You have one bad habit and you are saying, anytime you want to angry, they used to tell me in those days, Steve, when you want to angry, hold your hand like this. Just hold it like this. When the person is just beholding, don't release it. Oh, listen, he failed. Because the nature to get angry is from within. And the only force that can change it is also a force from within. So God said, no, I know he has not looked enough. That's why he's still angry this much. I know he has not seen enough. That's why he still lies this much. But let me just allow him to keep saying. The more he will keep saying, one day he will no longer be able to lie. Why? Because the nature he's looking is a truth-telling nature. That's what's happening to us here. So that's why you don't need to quit. Right now you are still angry. But the truth is, your anger level was 100% before. With time, the thing will reduce to 70. With time, the thing will reduce to 50. With time, it will reduce to 40. And if you get to a time, they will say, this guy is a big fool. Oh, wait till they do and say, enough be verse. No, something has happened on our inside. Loving others is not soulish. Because if you leave it at the realm of soul, some people come, they get power past your soul. They will annoy you. For 3 days, you will be angry. But when it is at the realm of our spirit, I want to place your hands on your chest. I want to pray and say, Father, beginning from today, I keep beholding your face. I keep looking at you as you are. I no longer start looking at people as they are. You need to walk out of this service today. That brother, that sister, that neighbor that keeps getting at your nerves, go back and begin to look at her in the light of who you are in Christ. So much will change. Thank you, Lord. So much will change. This is the transformation. When we look at who he is. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Lord, I trust you that in this season, you will work on us. You will bring us to the deep things of the Spirit. My desire for us this month is that we, including me, will encounter true agape. I woke up all through the night. All I was thinking, how can we arrive at the point? At the point where what people do to us will no longer move us. The point where Jesus got to, where what people teach to him no longer moved him. Let the light that shines above becomes the light that shines in me. God Almighty. Oh Jesus. Let the light that shines above. Sister, there is a light that needs to shine in your heart. Darkness is anything that is anti-love. Darkness is hate. Darkness is malice. When we see darkness, darkness is ignorance, malice, anger, greed. Anything that makes a good life impeded is darkness. Oh Lord, become the light that shines. Shine in my heart, Lord.
Yes, the darkness.
Now for today's communion,
let us
there is only one prayer. I pray as you take this communion, let the reality of your new life in Christ click in your heart. That's my desire for you. The day this reality clicks in your heart, every of those buttons will begin to function the way God wants them to function. And so, Lord, as we partake of this communion this morning, let the reality of our new man in Christ, let it be alive in our consciousness. Take away the veil of hate. Let the capacity to love that came by the new Spirit of God in us, let it give energy and might to us today in the name of Jesus. We receive the communion. We receive the communion. We receive the communion. In Jesus' name we pray. You come from the back and then you take the communion. Let's be on our feet. You have strength in your body. Everybody, let's be on our feet. Come here. Let's come in. Let's come. Let's come.
Let the light shine.
Take that song. Keep singing that song.
Have your way,
Jesus. Have your way. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's close our eyes. Father, we thank you. While the worship was going on, I heard in my spirit, sicknesses are healed. Is there anybody here that is suffering a particular ailment? The Spirit of God said, I should tell you, you check, that those sicknesses are no more. Any condition of your body, heart condition are healed. Kidney conditions are healed. Body ailments are healed. Right now, everyone that took the communion today, any sickness in your body,